This week's episode of the FitCast is brought to you by BlackStarLabs.com, home of the best-tasting protein powder out there. Don't forget to mention the FitCast when you place your order. Hello and welcome to this week's episode of the FitCast. This is episode number 170. I'm Kevin Larrabee, and along with me is Dr. Jonathan Fass, CPT, CSCS, ASW, MOD, OPP. That never gets old. I think I already used that before, but...
Did you? I don't remember.
Yeah. You have a lot of letters, John, and you've earned them, so I think we should at least say them once in a while.
I guess I gotta.
You gotta throw out the alphabet soup, as Cosgrove says. But we have a great show for you this week. We obviously weren't here last week, and that's because our schedule is kind of all mixed up. Lee was somewhere. We couldn't set up times with John, so we decided to just take a week off. You know, we all could use a break. We're all working on other stuff, so we kind of took a break, and now we're back here this week. Lee, unfortunately, is busy moving, so I'm sure she's
a job.
What?
She's MIA from the job.
Yeah. So it's just going to be John and I, but we got a very much John and Kevin heavy show. We don't have a ton of nutrition stuff, so we're going to get right into it. First off,
we should explain, my bad to interrupt, but just I'm on the cell phone, so if it sounds like crap, my apologies. But our internet and electric and everything was wiped out from a massive storm that we had on the East Coast too. So doing my best, folks.
Dedication. John's here to talk about the FitCast t-shirts. And a lot of people have been getting the FitCast t-shirts, and they've been enjoying them. I've even posted a couple pictures of them on Facebook. And hopefully a lot of our international listeners should be getting them, if they haven't gotten them already, this week. So, the one thing I'm just going to say, for international orders from now on, the t-shirts are going to be $32, just because it's costing me about $12 to ship them overseas via priority. And unfortunately, that's just the way it is, because it's almost guaranteed to get you in a week. So I'd rather have that happen and have you pay an extra couple bucks than have like the 48 t-shirts that I sent overseas get lost in the mail again. And I know it's not the postal service, it's the Russians. Let's be serious, they're stealing all of our t-shirts. So that's another group of people to send hate mail. Next, I want to quickly mention that I still have one slot open for the online personal training. I took on a couple last week, and I decided I want to dedicate some more time to that. So I'm just going to open up one more slot. If you're interested, just shoot me an email, or you can go to kevinlarrabee.com for the information. One of the clients who's just started last week, Erin, has already lost almost 3 pounds in the first week, so she's kicking butt. And also, we should be getting some weekly check-ins from my other two clients. So if you're interested, just shoot me an email. Like, if you feel that you need to just kind of get on a program, have that accountability, all that stuff, it's all in one package. So let me know. And lastly, I want to say, obviously, we missed the podcast for What Up Kev as well this week. It's just been a really hectic, busy week. My parents were away, so I got to take care of the dogs and the cats, so I had a couple extra responsibilities this week, along with some extra stuff going on at work. So that's that, and we're not even going to take a break. We're just going to start going into the mailbag stuff. Let's just do it. And also, one other thing, this is completely against what I'm about to say, but I want to try to make more concrete, compact shows, so we just get stuff in and out. We're going to have that joking still, but the casual atmosphere, but all the off-topic stuff is going to be in the off-topic. We're not going to bring that into the show anymore. I just think it makes more sense that way. So is that all right with you, John?
I'm cool, man. I'm cool, calm, and collected.
All right, well, the first question is for Kevin, because John doesn't have an outline, obviously. John's going to ask me this, but I'm going to use...
Blind.
Yeah, I'm going to use my voice. It's from Matt. He says, "Hey, y'all, I'm from Oklahoma, so I thought you would appreciate I can't read that word. Colin Gluently Correct Greeting. I'm a horrible reader. I think so, maybe. I spent the last year or so struggling with phallus and have found recent success and plan to be very close to my goals by the beginning of the summer. I have lost over 70 pounds of fat and plan to continue to lose until June. The problem is that I have just accepted an accelerated nursing program at Oklahoma University that will condense their bachelor's program in nursing into just 14 very busy months. Wow. I also have a wife and two kids, so family time will be stressed as well. I'm concerned that I will regress during this time period and lose ground in my fat loss battle. If you have any tips or tricks to help me stay motivated, maybe program suggestions that I might be able to utilize when I am in this very busy time in my life, I would greatly appreciate it. Some background info in case you need it. I'm 35 years old, 215 pounds. I've been using the new muscle lifting since November. Just finished the last week of Fat Loss 3. And just purchased Afterburn from Alan Cosgrove to take me into the summer. Thanks for the help, everyone. It's greatly appreciated, Matt. And the more that I read this, I'm going to send this over to you, John, because you're in this very much of a situation when you're with your doctorate program and not your doctor, your residency. And I would just like you to, you know, what do you kind of do to, you know, stay focused and being able to get in the exercise when you can? Like, what do you do?
Yeah, it's a good question. Congratulations on the program. That's pretty awesome. Nursing is a very difficult but rewarding job. So, keep at it. It'll be good. Worst case scenario, it's 14 months, so you get through it and then you get back to a more usual cycle, although quite frankly, as a nurse, depending on where you're going to work and what environment, hours will always be crazy. So it's almost good training now to get started on getting used to, you know, being out of sorts in your schedule, because it probably will stay something similar to that for a good long time. Honestly, it's very difficult. Now, he can have an advantage to some extent. And certainly, like, his family is supportive of him because you can kind of enlist their help. As far as weight loss is concerned, you know, I think we've talked about it before. The diet really is the key there. The exercise works to kind of mold everything together, but the diet is the key. So if he can have the support of his wife, even his kids, the entire family can be eating well and be eating healthy, and that will only help him. Everything comes down to planning. So as you look at your schedule a week in advance, 2 weeks in advance, a month in advance, figure out where are the open times, when can I do things, and then plan for the best but assume the worst. So if you think, oh, I'm going to be able to work out two times this week and then a weekend, assume that you're going to work out once or not at all. You know, I mean, it really does come down to that. For the next 14 months, school is the most important thing here. So your goals are really to maintain and hopefully lose. But if you maintain, if you just break even, you've won. So you have to readjust your own goals to basically accommodate for the fact that your life is going to get a lot more hectic, a lot more difficult. It can also be difficult to plan before you've actually been in it. So make your plans now, but as you're going through, be prepared to adjust and readjust those plans, because sometimes things come up. You know, you'll have your schedules from your professors. You'll see when the tests are, when the projects are due, whatever. But, you know, professors will just hand something out randomly and be like, oh, get this back to me in a week. And suddenly your week's exercise or, you know, your workout schedule is blown to bits. So be prepared for that too. New rules of lifting is great, but right now something almost like body weight stuff, things that you can do at home, things that you don't necessarily have to go to the gym for, might be more helpful, because that takes time. Just the time to and from the gym takes time, and sometimes you literally don't have that time. So you've got to make the best of it. Get a chin-up bar, do some push-ups in the house, something just to get your activity level up. But really, you know, take a look at what you've been doing, zero in on the diet, and then add the exercise as you can. And there are going to be weeks that you can't, especially around finals, midterms, things like that. You just won't be able to work out. You might catch one in the entire week as like a stress reliever for like 20 minutes. But that is the reality of being a student in a graduate level program. So, you know, just be realistic with yourself. And ideally, you should be able to maintain pretty well. But you just have to have a lot of planning for it. But best of luck, and you know, write in, let us know how you're doing, and when you have very specific issues or problems, you know, just write in and let us know. Maybe we can all brainstorm.
Absolutely, and Matt, I'm going to throw in a couple more recommendations. One, I would not train at a gym at all. I would not even, you know, use that time. I would, if you have a gym membership and you can cancel it, I would just, you know, cancel it for that time period. And what I would do is I would just get, you know, put that money towards getting a TRX, put it towards getting a couple kettlebells, and put it, you know, get a perfect pull-up. And like John said, get like a really good bodyweight program. Like I know Cosgrove has a bodyweight workout program. Same thing with Craig Ballantyne. Get something like that that has some structure. Throw in, you know, lots of kettlebell. You know, I mean, I would even get like a book on kettlebells for like $13. Like Pavel has a great book on kettlebell training that you can use just to, you know, learn the mechanics of the swing and, you know, the Turkish get up. And, you know, even better, if you go to Dave Draper's website, Dan John has a fantastic DVD on kettlebell training, and you can just learn how you can get such bang for your buck out of those kettlebells. You know, and you can get them for a pretty decent price, even from PerformBetter.com, or if you can find a Play It Again Sports or a secondhand place where you can get weights and things like that. I would definitely check that out as well. But I mean, if you think about the multitude of things you can do with TRXs and you know, kettlebells and, you know, the perfect pull-up, I'm talking about spending maybe $300-$400, and you can, with that money, you can actually spend much more time at home. You can jump in the garage for 30-45 minutes, you do a quick 10-15 minute warm-up, do a quick 30 minute weight training session, you're done. You get to spend the rest of the time with the family. You don't find yourself driving back and forth to the gym and things like that, and having to deal with the, you know, the other issues that can arise from having to wait for equipment and things like that. Just keep it simple, keep it quick, and, you know, think best bang for your buck. What can I do right now that is going to, you know, get my heart rate up? It's going to be multi-joint exercises, things like that. That will, you know, I love that best bang for your buck. Like, that's just the way to do it. So, again, like John said, hope that helps. And if there's any other boundaries or obstacles that get in your way, email us and we will definitely help out. But you're doing a great thing. And I mean, right now you need as much support as possible, and we're happy to give it.
Yeah, and actually one more thing that I just thought of, and I love that advice too. I think that was a very good advice, as far as, you know, if you've got the room and you can make a home gym, it doesn't have to be something extravagant. You know, like Kevin said, just a TRX system and some kettles or whatever, and you have a fantastic home gym set up. I mean, it's very convenient, so that was excellent advice. The other thing that I would say is also monitor your stress levels, because that's something huge, and it's probably something that we don't talk about, and not just physiologically. I'm not talking about, like, overtraining or whatever. Your motivation to exercise and to eat properly. Mm-hmm. And there's a ton of research on that, too, is how stress will affect your diet. It will affect your ability to lose weight or to, you know, be motivated to exercise. It, you know, grad school is very stressful, especially around, like, testing time and midterms. You know, in grad school, I would have 2 weeks straight of midterms and 3 to 4 weeks of finals. It would be higher months that we were just taking finals, papers were due. I mean, it was hell. It was absolute hell. And I would assume that your program will probably be something similar, given the accelerated type of coursework that you're going to be in. Plus, you've got family issues. There's going to be a lot of areas that you can experience stressful situations, and that can absolutely demotivate you. It can also just lower your energy level so that you just don't feel like working out. So have in place a way to deal with your stress. If it's, you know, 20 minutes of meditation, if it's, you know, being by yourself just to read a book, don't forget those things. They're probably going to be more important now than they ever have been before. And if you come into the situation having a good system to alleviate your stress, you're going to be much better off to continue your success with weight loss.
No, that's gigantic. That's I think that's the biggest point that John just made. Let's go to the next question from Eddie from New York. He says, thanks for listening. Thanks to listening to your shows all these years, I am now known as the fitness and nutrition guy in my circle of friends and family. That can be a good and a bad thing, Eddie. Recently, I've been getting requests from female friends of mine to give them programs to do that will get them, quote, beach ready. Most of these people have no experience in a gym or with strength training. I'm not a personal trainer, although I hope to be someday. Could you give me some guidelines for designing programs for newbies? Most of them are in okay shape and generally active with skiing, hiking, mountain climbing, etc. I'm thinking about giving them a 3-day a week with a full body movement, so I'm specifically curious about set rep schemes and when to plan in metabolic conditioning. I'm thinking maybe a four to four sets of five, 7 days, or three sets of 10 for 10 days, and then maybe a complex or a circuit day. Or, oh, sorry. Four sets of 5 to 7 reps day, and then a three sets of 10 to 12 rep day, and then maybe a complex or a circuit day? Or would it be better to add in another strength day and fit in the metabolic and conditioning either after the strength days or on off days? Let me know if I'm on the right track or if you think I should do something different. I'm trying to keep things simple since I won't be with them while they train except for the first day to go over the movements, techniques. Thanks for the help, Eddie. All right, Eddie, I'm going to be a cold-hearted bastard on this. But the first thing, I've had experience with this. I would say, tell them to take the first step. Tell them to go get something like New Rules of Lifting for Women or the Female Body Breakthrough, something like that, and see if they are actually willing to put in effort themselves. If they're not just like, oh, you know, that would be great to be on an exercise program. Can you write me something? Because sorry, those people. They're going to get a program from you. They're going to do it twice, and they're going to say, oh, yeah, I've just been kind of going in and doing elliptical instead. No, sorry. Eddie, tell them to buy a book first. Tell them to show some kind of personal investment into this. Have them write, you know, have them – yeah, I think that's the best way to do it. Otherwise, you're going to find yourself getting frustrated. You're going to be investing time and energy. I know even if they're your close friends, I'm not saying they're bad people. I'm just saying, you know – for me personally, like, you know, if I wanted to go up to someone and say, I wanted to know about paintballing, you know, can you get me a paintball gun and show me all about paintballing? And then I go out and I use it once and I'm like, it's not for me. But yeah, you just spent $100 on a paintball gun for me and you just spent all that time, your personal time, which you have to consider. I mean, if you don't value your personal time, like at least $50 an hour or like $45 an hour, like that, you're wrong. Like your personal time, especially your time outside of work, should be extremely valuable. Make sure not to, devote too much time before seeing what they're going to give back first. Give them kind of a test. You know, if they do do something like New Rules of Lifting for Women for a month, you say, do this for a month, do the break-in program. After you're done with that, I'm going to write something that's specifically for you. And then you know they're going to be dedicated. They've been doing it for a month, and at least shows that they have some kind of personal investment in it before you invest your own time and energy. And again, I know that's a very cold-hearted answer, but I think that's kind of what you have to do to make sure you don't get burned and you don't get frustrated with them. And I think that's like the better way. I mean, you don't want to have a friendship hurt because, you know, they didn't do a program that you wrote, you know? It's kind of, I know I'm not in a bad mood today. That's just the way I feel.
No, but I agree with you completely because most of the time when someone wants to start up, I mean, it happened to all of us. Oh my God, you're a trainer or whatever. Oh, you have to write me a program.
Exactly.
Oh, I don't need to do something. You know, a lot of people think, and that quite frankly is the reason why personal training is as big of an industry within fitness as it is, because people think, oh, I need something that's specialized to me. And that may be true sometimes. Most of the time, it's honestly not. Most of the time, all you really need is just something. I mean, I do know of trainers that just basically give the same program to everybody, you know, and everyone thinks they're getting this private thing, and they're not. There are programs in gyms now where they're like, you know, computerized personal trainers, and people just plug in their stats and they get something to spit out. How can that possibly be personalized? And yet they work. The reason why they work is because exercise, when it comes down to the fundamental, is just you will respond to something, to a stimulus that is greater than your standard. So if all I do all day is, you know, mountain climb and, you know, I'm hiking rather and walking, whatever, like the women that you're describing are doing, then they're at a level of exercise. Suddenly you've introduced resistance training, that's a new stimulus and they will respond to it. You don't need to do, you know, three sets of five. You can do one set of 12. And that's a new stimulus. So they don't really need something personal. They can get a book. They can follow that program. And if they're motivated to do it, and then certain things come out, you know, they're having a plateau or maybe there's some muscle imbalance, pain, whatever's going on, that's when you get a little bit more focused. But just like Kevin said, just have them buy New Rules of Lifting. Done. But in general, when you're writing a program for someone that does not lift weights, you're dealing with a lot of factors, the weight, the volume, the speed of lifting, the amount of rest that you give, the frequency of the weightlifting, is it twice a week, three times a week, four times a week? There's a ton of variables. In the very beginning, keep it simple. It can be 1 to 2 sets of 10 to 15 reps, whatever you need, because anything represents a stimulus that will produce strength and muscle hypertrophy. As they progress, you need to progress those resistance, or you need to progress the volume or the exercises themselves so that it's a new stimulus. But in the beginning, anything, honestly, anything works. So the difference between 1 sets and like 3 sets, there's some evidence showing that over a longer period of time, when you have beginners work with a little bit more volume, they may see better results in like, you know, 8 to 12 months follow-up. But I don't even know that I think that that's very consistent evidence. So I usually just start beginners on like 1 to 2 sets, and I'm looking more for their form. I don't care about the weight that they're using, quite honestly. And they get sore anyway, and they get stronger anyway. It's all neuromuscular. So you can keep it very low level. Psychologically, that helps because they're not used to it. So they're not going to want to be doing these like hour and a half marathons with metabolic training, with all kinds of stuff. You just give them a few basic exercises. You teach them how to squat, or just give them a lunge, or whatever it is. 1 to 2 sets, they get in, they get out, 30 minutes tops, and they start to enjoy exercise.
Great call. Let's go to the next question. Keep things moving. John, I got a question for you. It comes from Dan. He asks, Jonathan, I have been diagnosed with a case of patellar tendonitis in my right knee. I heard it while running up a track in my local gym 2 weeks before Christmas. I could hardly walk for 2 weeks. The only way I could go downstairs was sideways. The pain was so bad. No problem going up, just going down. I have been seeing Adio since December. The first visit, he manipulated my legs and torso, and the benefit was immediate. I was amazed. Since then, the knee has gotten better. Hey, John.
All right.
That's okay. Well, John, I'm just going to keep going through that question for you. The first visit, he manipulated my legs and torso, and the benefit was immediate. I was amazed. Since then, the knee has gotten better, but it is not normal by any means. I have been doing some stretches, some icing, etc. for the past 2 months, and essentially no exercise. Yesterday, I went back to the gym to lift weights, and while the knee is more sore today, it is not unbearable. I did 3 sets of 10. Of squats at 135 pounds. I have read on WebMD and other sites that patellar tendonitis can take several months to calm down. I wonder if I will ever walk again without the current discomfort. Is there anything I could do to improve my recovery? I hate missing the gym and the discomfort that I am dealing with. I'm 54 and otherwise in very good health, have been very active and lost 20 pounds prior to the injury. Any advice is greatly appreciated. And again, that's from Dan.
Patellar tendonitis is very common, especially in active individuals. It's just an overuse, basically, of the muscle, the quadriceps. So there are a couple of things that you want to do for it. You can and should take some time off, which you've already done. It doesn't have to be a lot of time. You just need a couple of days, maybe a week of icing, rest, that sort of thing to get the muscle to calm down. But it can be an active recovery, too. So soft tissue work, foam rolling, all that kind of stuff is incredibly valuable. You're letting the quads rest, but that doesn't mean that you have to let anything else rest. And most of the time, you're going to find muscle imbalances that have led to that tendonitis. You were doing an activity that you're not used to doing. Something probably didn't work right. You know, maybe your hip extension wasn't as strong as it needed to be. Maybe there's something going on in your calves, like who knows. But whatever it was, the quads were doing something above and beyond they were capable of, and they became inflamed. There was some trauma to it, and there's your patellar tendonitis. So what you're basically looking to do is to strengthen the areas around it. So again, glutes and hamstrings and calves and whatever may be imbalanced. And at the same time, you're looking to strengthen the quads because they're not capable of doing what you need them to do, so you need to make them stronger. So it becomes very simple. Foam roller work and soft tissue work to quiet down the tissues. Strength training specifically to the quads to make them stronger and to the surrounding areas so that you're dealing with neuromuscular strengthening so that, you know, imbalances fall out the way and you become a better machine, basically. And honestly, 3 to 4 months, that's a lot. You're probably looking at, like, if it's done properly, like 6 weeks, I'd say. usually, depending on the extent of the damage. But if you're not getting rid of patellar tendonitis in about 6 to 8 weeks tops, I don't know, something's missing. So that's what I would look for. But it can be a very simple thing. Mobilizations are great because if there's range of motion restrictions that led to that overuse, then something like what the DO was doing would be very beneficial. But you just have to make sure that it's not a painkiller and that you're actually achieving something like a greater range of motion.
We're going to go to the next question. Obviously, I have nothing to add. We're going to go to the next question that we have that comes from... Bear with me, my computer froze for a second. From Christina. Hey, guys, I have a question about push-up progressions. I don't have a lot of upper body strength and find regular push-ups to be difficult. I can only do a couple of push-ups, bringing my chest within an inch or two from the ground. I can only do about 6, bringing my chest about halfway to the ground. My question is, would it be better to do a modification such as my knees instead of my toes that allows me to go lower with a few more reps and work up to doing full push-ups, or should I be doing full push-ups even if I can't go very low or do very many? Thanks in advance, Christina. Great question, Christina. Push-ups, I think, is something that a lot of women find to be a big obstacle, but once you kind of get over that obstacle, it's free selling from there. But one thing I want to quickly point out is I'm a big fan of not having my female clients do push-ups from their knees, but instead having them do push-ups at an incline, like using a power rack or a box, and having them put their hands on that. But still teaching them to keep that proper straight line. If you're thinking like heels to the back of the head, you're making sure they're keeping those glutes tight. They're not having, their butt way up in the air. Their hips aren't, sagging in, or they're not bending their knees, or, really leaning forward with their head. Like, you want to keep that nice straight line, and think of it as very much like a plank when you're doing those push-ups. So what I would do is I would start going with, starting with sets of 12 and kind of find where that height is for that set of 12 and, do that for a week or two, but then go a little bit lower and go with a set of 8 and see, after that first week, if you can get up to, bump that up to 10 or 12 at that height, and then just keep taking like 1 or 2 inch intervals going down. And along with that, making sure you're still doing some dumbbell benching work, I think, is going to be beneficial for you on your days that you're not doing push-ups. But just in a side note, just a little personal plug on kevinlarby.com, I wrote a pretty thorough article on push-up progression. So I mean, that might be worthwhile taking a look at it. It's kind of more down the road, but maybe it will give you some ideas on what you can do. And another one of the big things that a lot of women I find have trouble with, two of the main things are first the core stability aspect of the push-up. And I think that's something that gets overlooked quite a bit. People don't really think that you have to actually train the core stability aspect of the push-up. But when you think about it, it's a core stability exercise, with a little bit of pushing in it. And so make sure that's in check. Make sure you're doing your planks, your anti-rotation presses or pallet presses, and things like that. And also the other thing is the shoulder stability aspect and the scapular stability aspect of the push-up, where you can find that push-ups become quite a bit easier once you start throwing in some more shoulder stability work. Doing things like hand switches and other shoulder stability exercises that will kind of help with you, on the way up and the way down. So you'll see people like really have those elbows coming in and out once they're pushing up. Like, those elbows are really moving a lot. I think that's very indicative of just poor shoulder stability. And lastly, last point is make sure you're also training your back as well. You need to have a nice, strong back to go along with those push-ups. So make sure you're training all those things. John, anything to throw in?
No, not really. I mean, I personally do have female clients or male clients even that aren't capable of doing a standard push-up, do it on the knees. by saying that, it means that you're not bending your hips. You're still maintaining that straight line. So you're actually not on the knees, which is a common mistake. You're right above it on the quad, actually.
Yep.
When you do it properly, it should be like, so a lot of people don't understand that. They end up doing like a, almost like a, I don't know, like a prayer bow kind of thing, because they're just hinging on their hips. So you still want to make sure that your body's in line. The difference between a push-up on the knees and a push-up on the feet is simply that the knees are bent or they're straight. Everything else should look exactly the same. Use eccentric work, so lower yourself slowly. If you can't push yourself back up, that's fine.
Awesome call. Sorry, I got to butt in, John. Great point.
Yeah, I mean, because that does help, and you're going to build your strength up tremendously that way, and the most important thing is that you're probably going to have better form doing it, because you're stronger lowering than you are pushing back up. So form is huge, because you may end up being able to do push-ups, but they look like crap, and you don't even realize it. So having someone kind of, if you have anyone to be able to assess you, that's great. If not, at least take a look at some videos and a number of videos, because not everything you find on the internet is going to be looking correct either. But try to find something that looks correct. The body should be straight in line. The elbow should be tucked at around 30 to 45 degrees of an angle to the body. And make yourself look like that. Use a mirror. Use a, you know, videotape yourself. Take pictures of yourself, whatever it is. You've got to make sure that everything is in line to the best of your ability. Like Kevin called, excellent call on like core strength and scapular shoulder strength and back strength. All that comes into play. So that's personally why I like using the knee push-up progression a little bit more, because it helps everything to kind of come into strength together. So your core will be challenged, your back will be challenged, but it'll be decreased because you're lessening the amount of actual resistance that you're using. But having said that, I also use the bench just like Kevin described it, and use, you know, variations of you go down this far, then you progress this distance from the ground. So any of that, it's all opinion at that point. So whatever works for the listener, I'm good with personally.
Cool. John, I got another question for you. This is great. It's from Manchester, England. Awesome. Hi, everyone. This is Nigel from Manchester, England. Interesting one for Dr. Fass. When I try to do the following test for a weak psoas below, I am completely unable to lift my left leg up off the floor. I can with the right, but with some difficulty. Any ideas? The exercise is as follows. Psoas test to determine whether your psoas is too weak. The setup is stand both upright with your back to the wall, feet together, heels 3 inches from the wall, back and head touching the wall. Execution. Lift one of your thighs as high as you go until it is above horizontal, or at least hold that position for 30 seconds. Look forward to your highly valuable opinion. Cheers, Nigel. Two things before I let you talk, John. One, Nigel, great, great English name. And two, I've normally only seen this test done like in a standing position where you kind of do like a knee hug. You get it above 90 degrees or above parallel, and then you just hold it there for 30 seconds. Is this just, you know, is there another form where you just have people like physically, or I should say just using their hip flexors, pull that knee up and then hold? Is that even a question? Yeah, I don't know if it is, but.
Well, I don't, like, the test itself, I mean, it's an interesting one. We have a lot of tests for things, and, I mean, by the letter of the law, we don't really know what it's testing. All I know is that he can't lift his knee above 90 degrees. It could be hip flexor strength. It could be abdominal strength weakness. It could be back weakness. There are a lot of things that could probably contribute to not being able to do that. Sitting for long periods of time, not using hip flexors, that could certainly be part of an issue too. So why he can't do that, I can't really say. Otherwise, like any test, if you can't do the test, you practice the test until you can do it. So if he can't lift his knee above above 90 degrees in standing, eliminate gravity for the time being. Lay on your back and lift the knee. There will be some initial, you know, resistance, and then it'll get a little bit easier. Then you can increase to like an incline position or whatever. So that would be a way to progress it. You can use band resistance or cable resistance, like as a straight leg, kind of, you know, standing and flexing the hip that way. And then progressing it to the way that he's describing it, where it's a full, you know, the weight of the leg, and then progressing it from there with more resistance. So just like anything else, if there's something that you find that you're weak in, you basically just do the action of the muscle and you get stronger that way. But I would be curious as to why he can't do that, if there's an underlying problem somewhere else in the chain that may be contributing, or there may be something in his daily activities that are making him weak there, because most people like have difficulty in holding the position, but to not actually get there is a relatively significant weakness. So I'd be more concerned about that personally.
All right, good. Well, Nigel, if you have a follow-up, please let us know, because I would love to say your name on the show again. Appreciate that. John, you're supposed to laugh.
What's that?
You're supposed to laugh, John.
Sorry. Bad connection. Must have been making the call.
All right. We're going to make this one the last question from Doug. Hello, all you experts. I hope you have an answer for me. I've been doing a powerlifting-style workout, back squat, bench press, deadlift, and overhead press for the last 9 weeks, and I'm making great strength gains. A couple weeks ago, I had to have a colonoscopy because of the prep for that and the fact that they had to remove... it's a word I can't say. I've heard it said before, but polyps, I think that's right. I was on a liquid diet. Is that right?
I didn't hear it.
Polyps.
Polyps, yeah.
Awesome. So I was on a liquid diet for 5 days. I did not do my workouts that week, which I was doing 3 days a week. When I started back at my weight training, I was unable to put my feet on the floor during bench pressing. I always had to put a piece of wood under my feet, but now even three boards is not enough. I have a pain soreness in my lower back when I try to put my feet down. What could this be, and how can I correct it? I have to keep working on my chesticles. Thanks, Doug. And automatically email the week because he said chesticles, and I love that word. That word is awesome. So, John, I think we should tag team this. But first off, it doesn't sound that the injury to his back or his back acting up, I don't think it's related to the colonoscopy at all.
You know, it's tough to say. I mean, is it because of the time off that he had to take? Is it because of? I mean, it's a relatively minor procedure. You have to take a day or two off. You're not going to be active, but otherwise, it should be affecting someone to that extent.
Well, I think one of the things that really pops out is, you know, he says that he's doing a powerlifter style workout, and you see those powerlifters that like have crazy arches in their back, and they literally have like basically their ass and the top of their back touching the bench, and that's it. You know, I think he might just be, you know, getting those feet tucked in too much. He's really just hyperextending. He's getting too much of an arch.
It could be. The other thing I think of is he is describing an issue of hip flexor mobility.
Yeah.
You can't get the feet behind you. You know, I'm thinking rectus femoris. And then if you're getting back pain, it can be, again, contributions from the psoas, which is another hip flexor that attaches to your spine, your low back. Or it could be that the arch is too great, so he's putting pressure on the back that he may have been accustomed to before, but the time off has made it so that it's now a painful experience that he has to overcome. You know, most people that have tried that lifting style have had a little bit of low back pain before they get used to the activity. But it's a tough question because you just don't know what's going on there. You know, I mean, not being able to get the feet to the ground, like, I mean, it sounds like it's mobility, but I have no idea what it could be. I mean, other than the simple answer of, you know, stretch for a week or two, do some foam rolling and see if it clears up. Otherwise, I mean, that could be capsular restrictions. That could be, there could even be some kind of pain issue that the body's just not allowing him to get in, so he's not actually aware of the fact that something is painful. So, because the body, you do that as a natural reaction to pain sensory stimulus. You avoid the things that hurt, and you don't even realize that there's something that's hurting. And I don't know.
No, I think that's a good call. I mean, we all suggestions and comments, you know, don't take them, you know, wholeheartedly. Make sure you get checked out by a physician, stuff like that. But again, if you can hook us up with some more information, let us know, update us, let us know what changes in the upcoming weeks. I would definitely love to revisit this situation.
You know, my suggestion would just be to get into a good hip flexor stretch. you know, the standing or whatever. You're basically mimicking the position that you're having difficulty with. But if it doesn't clear up, then there may be some really weird things going on there. And just like you said, Kev, what does it have to do with the colonoscopy? I have no idea. It may have nothing to do with it, and it may have just been the time off that he had to take, but maybe there's something else going on. I don't know. But for the time being, some foam rolling to the hip flexors, stretches of the hip flexors, like a standing hip flexor stretch, a hip flexor stretch where your foot is behind you, like kneeling or whatever, those may help. And if he's had trouble all along doing that, then he probably could use some good flexibility work regardless. But otherwise, yeah, if it doesn't go away relatively quickly, then I don't know. Things don't tighten up that quickly. So that's a weird sort of description.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that makes a lot of sense. And, you know, worst case scenario, the hip flexor stretching is not going to hurt at all. Shouldn't. I mean, all things that we say, you know, make sure to go see a doctor, all that good stuff. All right, well, we're going to wrap it up because John has no power, and I want him to have a cell phone available to him. Listen to our off-topic. There's some cool stuff going on the off-topic, and I think that is going to be it. Before we wrap it up, I just want to, you know, I don't think we say this enough. You know, for people who are on the newsletter list, I sent this out a couple months ago, but you know, as always, I just want to throw out a huge thank you to all of our listeners, all the readers, and everyone that supports John, myself, and Lee. Like, you guys are, you know, some of the most fantastic people out there. It's a real shame that I don't get to meet every one of you in person and get to, you know, shake your hand and say thank you personally. And hopefully down the road at seminars and things like that, that gets to happen a little bit more. But I just want to, you know, I don't think that I say this enough, and I just want to say thank you so much for listening, tuning in, you know, buying T-shirts, going to thefitcast.com and reading stuff there, and, you know, going to John's blog that he updates once every other year and reading that stuff and pretending like that's okay. And I thank you for getting us. I mean, 170 episodes, like I think we're getting – I mean, 200 is still quite a ways off, but by the end of the year, we would have had 200 episodes under our belt, and that's something that I don't really thank you guys enough for. And I just, again, want to say thank you. Some of you guys have been with us since episode one, and some of you have maybe just joined us, and thank you as well. And hopefully, we can continue to have this thing grow, and once things quiet down a little bit, we should be getting some more guests. And I have been dropping some names like Valerie Waters and Bill Hartman, I just talked to, is coming back on the show, and Nick Tumanello, who I love talking to. So, and hopefully we can get John and Bill to be on the same show, because thanks to their personal history, it usually gets a little bit interesting. And I mean good personal history. I don't mean like bad blood. I mean like...
I did spend 3 months with him, so he may hate me by now, but not that I know.
Exactly. Well, I mean, that's interesting, and I think that could make it for a great interview. So we'll keep you updated on that through the newsletter. Please, again, just remember that, you know, you guys mean a lot to us, and you know, we get teary-eyed sometimes, but I just wanted to end with that. Don't forget to check out the Fitcast on iTunes. Please submit reviews, and also, again, if you want T-shirts, you can go to the T-shirt page on thefitcast.com, and that's where I'm going to end it. Thanks, everyone. John, Pink Dumbbell Award.
Oh, yeah, it was testicles.
Thank you. We're in agreement. Take care, everyone. Have a great week. We'll see you next time. Chesticles.
That's going to be the name of the show.
Chesticles? No, I agree. Chesticles for the win. All right, we're here in the off-topic discussion for episode 170. I'm with Jonathan Fass. What's up, John?
What's up, Kevin?
John, you don't sound...
I'm on my cell phone this week because we have no power and no internet and no nothing from a really massive storm here on the East Coast.
Yeah, we were getting blown at pretty hard last night, too. Like, I was pretty surprised we didn't lose power, but...
Yeah, we actually, I was sometime with my parents. We went out to dinner, and the sky was lighting up like the worst lighting you've ever seen. And then you realize there's no thunder. It was Transformers, I think.
Holy shit.
Power plant Transformers. Yeah. It was pretty crazy. Like, the whole sky would just light up like crazy. Like, someone was flicking the light switch on and off.
That's pretty nuts.
Yeah. It was crazy. So we went out to eat, and we're like, oh, should we pick up dessert? We're looking at each other, and I mean, it was pouring, like, buckets. And we're just like, you know what? Let's not do that.
Yeah, I mean, that's understandable.
Yeah.
What else is going on, John?
Nothing. Life is peachy.
All right, then I'm going to take the floor for a second. I'm going to take the floor. So I was actually talking to John a little bit before this, and some of you who watch me on Facebook probably know that I am the proud owner of a new Marvel Super Heroes versus Street Fighter arcade cabinet. I got off Craigslist.
That's pretty epic. Tell us the story, won't you, Kevin?
I will. Wow, you like set it up. It's because I wouldn't tell John before the show because I wanted to say it now. So anyways, you know, Craigslist for people in America, I think they have that in the, you know, other territories now, but it's more or less a classified ads. They had this machine on there for $500. I'm like, oh man, I remember playing this when I was in high school, like not even high school. It came out in 1997. So I was 10 years old when this game came out in arcade. So I probably played it when I was like 11 or 12. And I was like, oh man, you know, that'd be sweet to have. You know, I'm looking at moving out, getting an apartment, and you know, this is a great opportunity. I'm like, I'm just gonna lowball the dude. I'm gonna say 250. If he says 250, then everybody's a winner. So I was like, yeah, 250. I drove out there to meet him on Saturday at his house. It was like half an hour away from Boyle's after I was done working, and I get there. You know, the screen is off center. But that's an easy fix. Like, the screen, there's just controls. It's like a computer monitor where you have that, like, horizontal position, you know, vertical position. So, I'm like, oh, yeah, you know, that's wrong with it. You know, like, no offense, but you smoke cigarettes and it's going to have that cigarette smoke smell. And, you know, there's tons of dust. Like, the screen is discolored a little bit. It needs to be degaussed and... will you be able to do 200? Like, me and my roommate, like, we're going to split this. Like, that's, I just talked to him on the phone. This is all we can do. He's like, no, I'm sorry. Can't do 200. It's 250. And I'm like, all right, well, I appreciate your time. You know, I thank you. And, you know, best of luck. So I open the door to leave, and he goes, well, where do you live? How far away do you live? I'm like, oh, about an hour in Beverly. He's like, all right, $200 right now. So we started loading up. It literally barely fit into my Honda RAV4. No, what do I have? Toyota RAV4.
Toyota, dude.
Whatever. Same thing. And it shows how much I care about cars. And the it barely fit in the car, and I had to leave it there for like 4 hours so I could get some guys from Cressy's that I trained with. They ended up coming out here and helped me leg it up the stairs and getting it into my bedroom. And the thing is, I mean, it needed some cleaning. Like, I went through a whole container of those Clorox, Clorox wipes. Yeah, you know, those wipe things. So I went through a box of those. I picked up another thing of them this morning, plus Windex wipes, which, you know, I took out the glass part and took out the glass and wiped that down. So that was good to go. And it was all in all, I mean, it's for $200, these machines like themselves go for about $800 on eBay. So I'm pretty happy with the deal that I got. It was just right place at the right time. And the guys and I, we had a crap ton of fun playing Marvel versus Street Fighter last night, and I think it's going to be a nice little thing to have. And down the road, you know, I might turn it into one of those machines that can play any arcade game, which would be pretty epic as well. So that was my Saturday night, and I was up till 2 a.m. cleaning it. So, and because we were playing it, so after we were done playing it, they left and I cleaned it. So.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. So the question for the ladies in our audience is, does this make Does this increase Kevin's status or decrease it?
You know what? I don't... Dude, that's I just wanted to kind of do something for myself. You know, I've been very, not to pour out, but very mentally stressed out with work and stuff that's outside of work going on in life. And no, I was just like, you know what? For $200, I can treat myself. Or for, you know, $200, I could, think about how many things, like, I know women who spend $200 a weekend on friggin' shoes. So, I think, you know, if you're going to give me shit for spending $200 on an arcade machine that I enjoy with other people, I think that's a pretty messed up thing. So, I'm very happy. I don't mind defending myself. And I had barbecue turkey tips last night, so that was awesome.
Yeah. Oh, that's nice. As I was saying, ladies, does this increase Kevin's status or decrease it? And you can write into the fake app and let us know. Now, I'm going to put this out there. You know what? Our listening audience, not to kiss up or anything, but they're usually pretty cool. You know, they're into exercise, they're into, like, you know, being a little bit, you know, enjoying life and stuff. So I'm going to say that the women that listen here are going to say that this increases your status of coolness and all around good guy-ness. But I would also appreciate, like, yeah, I think that's cool, and now I would totally get it with Kevin, where before I had no interest in doing so, but the rest of my girlfriends probably think he's a dork. Like, we can accept those answers, too.
Well, no, and I think that's, you know, one of the things that you kind of learn once you get to my age, the ripe age of 24, is that, you know, you can't just... you know, you can't try to be someone that you're not, because you won't be happy in that relationship. And I've tried doing that in the past. I tried to be like the non-nerd guy. Like, I lied about the video games that I had, you know, and all that shit. If you're going to do that, then, like, what's the point? Like, I guess you're just trying to have one night of, good stuff like that. You know, that's all good, but I would rather, you know, invest my time into a longer relationship. And ladies, if you live in the Massachusetts area and you have my email number, feel free to make use of it.
Actually, all kidding aside, Kev, very good attitude. Very good attitude. That's exactly what it's about. But ladies, does this increase his status or decrease it? Please write into the FitCast. Let us know.
Questions@thefitcast.com.
I think it's cool for what it's worth, dude. I can't wait to come over and play that thing.
Yeah, I mean, that's going to be very convenient. Just come over from New Jersey to play some Street Fighter.
Right, right.
But it's good. I think we're going to be having some guys from Boyle's over later this week. My boy Roger's going to be coming over some night, and we're going to be playing. He's big into Street Fighter, and it's, you know, the only one other thing, like I said, I had to order like a $30 degaussing coil, which, like, you know, when you buy something new, like, I know nothing about arcade machines. I know nothing about it, but thank God for the internet and allowing me to, you know, learn about a degaussing coil and how that's going to actually fix the issues with my monitor and save me from spending $100 on a new one. So it's awesome.
Yeah, speaking of Roger, what up, Roger? I don't remember if I sent him a message. I guess he got it on Skype, and all of a sudden I had this message on my Skype saying, Roger is here. But I wasn't on. So what up, Roger? I got that message. I just wasn't around.
There you go. Well,
it's so funny. I just got to my computer. It's just, you know, I just leave it on. It's like, what's this?
Yeah, you can't leave the Skype open, dude. You can't do it.
Yeah.
Last but not least, I watched Resident Evil 1 and 2 throughout the week with the commentaries on, and those are pretty good movies. You know, for bad zombie movies, like, they're pretty fun. Like, you can have, like, again, what I've noticed that, like, every time I watch movies or TV, I have a laptop on my lap so I can write programs and answer emails and stuff. But, you know, it's still a...
Yeah, I saw the first one. I don't think I ever saw the second one.
Dude, Mila Jovovich is pretty good, and I learned from the commentary that her last name is pronounced Jovovich, not Jolovich. The more you know.
Now we know. Also, the star of
Fifth Element, yeah.
Fifth Element, yeah. That was a black out kind of cool movie.
That was her breakout role. She was 18 years old in that.
Yeah.
She didn't really? She didn't waste her time taking the clothes off either.
Yeah, no, she didn't. It was right up there for the viewing pleasure.
But all the power to her. She's a pretty woman. She's a very beautiful woman. And
you know, movie that I saw in Education.
Never heard of that.
That it was like nominated for Academy Awards.
Yeah, I don't watch those things. You know, I watch bad movies.
It was pretty good, actually. It was, you know, kind of like straightforward, but it was a good movie. I saw Everybody's Fine, which I was surprised was pretty good. It was Robert De Niro was in it.
Yeah.
That was pretty good. I saw Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs. Funny, cute, kids movie, whatever.
You've been watching a lot of movies lately, John.
Yeah, I saw a bunch. and I said, well, it's been like 2 weeks.
That's right.
And I saw, I saw The Informant.
Oh, how was that? That was with,
that was pretty good.
Which one? Was that with Matt Damon?
Yeah, that was with Matt Damon.
When he's like a nerd.
It was kind of funny.
He's a nerd, right?
Well, no, he's the CEO of a corporation. Not CEO, I'm sorry. He's just a high up in the corporation. Then he turns whistleblower for some stuff that they're doing. And then it kind of goes from there. And it's interesting. And it's based on a true story. And then I saw Where the Wild Things Are.
Well, you know, Sam Beckett is in The Informant. My good friend and mentor, Scott Bakula from Quantum Leap.
That's correct. And also Captain Archer from Enterprise.
Yeah, that never happened, so. Hey, John, I forgot you said that, so that's awesome. So we're going to take a quick break. We're going to record the podcast now, and hopefully you enjoyed a little bit of this. And if you're getting in the Massachusetts area, you want to play some Street Fighter, let me know. If you're single and you're a woman my age and you're in the Massachusetts area or willing to drive to the Massachusetts area, shoot me an email.
Ladies.
Ladies.
Ladies.